Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about our crappy comic book collection. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And happy Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, yes. As we are taping this, this is technically...
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Books Day.
Hopefully, y'all got some good stuff.
Yeah. No, and hopefully we are...
ROM Space Night.
Yeah, we are. I was not aware of ROM Space Night until you told me.
Yeah,
because really, to me, it doesn't matter what free comic books there are.
Yeah,
it's not going to be anything worth. It pretty much fits into exactly what our collection is.
Well, sometimes, because a lot of times, at least DC and Marvel do a lot of teasers for the big event that's coming up or whatever.
Right, right.
But IDW did the ROM Space Night because they're releasing a series with him in it.
Yeah,
which is exciting because
and we did a ROM.
Talked about ROM before.
Yeah, he was at Hulk's wedding. That was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a good time. So yeah, I'll indulge, and by that I mean I totally won't.
What you mean? Get the free comic?
No, I'll get the comics, but free comics. But I mean, as far as the series goes, I'm not.
Well, maybe if you really like it.
I don't buy anything I like. I don't.
I only buy things I hate.
No, I don't
even. Sean Merrick.
No, I don't buy. That's the thing. It's like for new stuff. I mean, like if I like it, I'm like, yeah.
I have a tendency to trade weight on new stuff.
Trade what?
Trade weight.
Well, I'd rather trade weight, but then
I really want to read the Vision series.
Yeah,
because I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah,
but I'm waiting for the trade.
Yeah, well, I want to read a lot. There's a lot of things I want to read that I probably would very much enjoy, like a lot of Marvel. Literally anything, and I just do not have the patience or the money to be like, all right, I'm going to wait for this trade, I'm going to buy it. I just want to read the classic stuff that's new to me.
And we get for 25 cents.
You give it 25 cents. So.
Yeah, because we got to tape this, and then we got to go to Free Comic Book Day where there are 50-cent boxes.
Are there 50-cent boxes at Jeffries?
I'm assuming there must be. It's Jeffries.
Yeah, that guy, hopefully there'll be some deals. Yeah, some good stuff.
Because, we need more crap.
I don't know if we'll buy crap. I don't know what to be honest. I mean, I say this now, but I sincerely think I might be pretty reserved because I feel like our collection, has been gotten out of control recently.
Yeah.
I haven't put away our comic books, so, we should probably, maybe chill for a minute.
Yeah. I have such a stack.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because, last time we were like, oh, I'm not going to buy anything. They were like, have 39 free comics.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Well, I have the stack of books that I've, they're new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have that stack is sitting in front or on top of a box of comics that I plan to revisit from stuff that I owned when I was a kid, stuff from that I got from home that I took with me. And I was like, oh, I'm going to read all this stuff too. And I'm like, this is way too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've been, I kind of been playing more, watching more wrestling lately, or just I feel like whatever. But anyways, and I feel I want to apologize to the listeners
for this entire show.
This entire show, but just I feel like
I am so sorry.
Well, here's the thing: I feel like because usually what will happen is we'll pick a comic, but the way to pick a comic is the day before. Jen will be like, "What are we reading for our show?" And then I'll go, I don't know. And then I'll just look at whatever is closely available to pick from at hand. Because I also don't have my comic book boxes in order.
Right.
In a really particular order. So it's very frustrating for me right now to pinpoint what I need.
Right.
What is where and just be able to find it. So I feel like we've been just kind of grabbing some stuff that's been, easily to grab. Mm. Not that we can't work with it. But I feel like, we need to make some better plans.
I feel we could do that.
Yes. So, so just that being said, this week's show is going to be good. Mm-hmm. But I feel we could have done you guys better.
So don't listen to this episode. All right, we're done. Just turn it off now.
No. Well, first of all, we're doing a Superboy.
We are.
So
doing
you guys,
Superboy.
We're doing a Superboy. We'll get to that one in a little bit, but you're gonna love that one. But we also are gonna start with a favorite character of mine, Wonder Man,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna be doing Marvel Premiere featuring Wonder Man, Marvel Premiere number 55 from August 1980, and it is on the cover. It is Wondy's first solo saga.
Even though this is number 55 of the Wonder Man book.
No, it's 55 of Marvel Premiere.
Oh.
Because Marvel Premiere is like basically
I
like
get
a random.
It. Smart.
It's one of the many Marvel anthology books that existed throughout the years and, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And this is one of, you know, this is one of them. And I'm actually pretty elated about this because did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I don't know what that was.
It was my body.
What's wrong with your body? Are you okay?
I don't know.
All I heard was.
That was my body being like, Sean, go take a dump.
Do you need to stop this so you can go to the restroom?
I think I'll be all right.
Are you sure?
I'll let you know when I need to stop.
I thought it was a ghost.
It could be a ghost. What if it is a ghost? This is the Hollywood Improv. We are, you know, we tape here above the Hollywood Improv.
Somebody had to have died here,
there
right?
could be ghosts in these floors.
Sure.
Of comedians past.
If it's possible.
Of failed comedian dreams.
Or it's just like a homeless guy outside. Just, also possible. We're in the middle of Hollywood.
I'm going to make it through this first book. Guys, I like that I just telegraphed to the listeners when I'm going to take a shit.
This is my life, you guys.
This is it.
In case you know.
It's funny, too, because we just had in, you know, some, you know, we had in our friends from Status Effect here on Sideshow, and, you know, they are video game podcasters, and they're very professional, and they're very good at what they do, and they had on, you know, some people from Nerdist, you know, that were talking, and it's just, it's really good stuff, and just, you know, pros all the way, and here I am, like, I gotta take a shit in about 30 minutes. Yep.
Anyway.
So anyways, Marvel Premiere featuring Wonder Man.
Yep.
Number 55. So Wonder Man, mm-hmm. in his first solo adventure, this is back in his red jacket phase.
Now is this the challenge I would like to issue to you mm-hmm. is that when we go to Kamikaze
mm-hmm.
in October.
Yeah.
I think you should try to cosplay as Wonder Man. In this outfit, because I feel this would be an easy first cosplay.
It is, yes, automatically.
The jacket, the turtleneck, the boots, the pants.
Yeah.
And the glasses.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. And I think that should be your goal, is to get all this shit together
when they announced the cameo of Nathan Fillion as supposedly as Wonder Man
yes.
in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I put like, yes, finally, now my Wonder Man cosplay will finally make sense. And I mean I was like my Wonder Man as if Wonder Man, if the West Coast Avengers compound had a built in Sizzler, because that's
know that it doesn't,
you know what? And very well, I could totally see US agent requesting that. Cause he seems like a Sizzler kind of guy.
Yep. I mean, there's no place better. If you just hate everything, there's no place better to go than Sizzler.
No,
yeah, you hate yourself. You hate your life. You're going to go to Sizzler.
I kind of want to go to Sizzler now.
Great. Are we going to go to Sizzler tonight?
No, because, you know, Sizzler's kind of expensive and it's not that good.
Yeah, but it's the place you hate eat.
It's true.
If you hate yourself, you go to Sizzler.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Well, Wonder Man, he's not a Sizzler, though. He starts off this book.
Mm.
The story is called The Force of Two.
I don't know if that title makes any sense.
It kind of does. Towards
it
the
kind
end.
Of sort of does, but not really. But okay.
Yeah. So anyways, Wonder Man jumps into this board meeting where apparently Hollywood is meeting.
Yeah. Oh, what year is this from again?
1980.
Okay.
And wait, is this Hollywood?
Oh, no, yeah, this. I think they're in New York.
No, but is this like a... sorry, I read this a bit.
So, yeah, he busts in to...
He talks to a chair.
A boardroom, because apparently it's at an old factory, and it's a factory that his company used to own
yes,
and run.
Yes, yes,
and he's like, hey, you know, I know I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm hoping, you know, I used to run it, and I'm hoping that I could talk to you about how to, you know, run it smoothly. Also, maybe I could get back into the business. And the chair is like, no.
Yeah, like a chair back to
its. It's just like a chair. It's like, no, Mr. Williams, get out.
It's a claw from Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget. And there's a cat and a creepy arm. So they're like, no. And like these dudes kick him out.
Yeah.
And
because one thing that people always forget about Wonder Man is that he was a munitions dealer. Like a, he was like a Tony Stark kind of guy.
Right. He was like some rich guy.
Until he became disgraced, you know, which led to him becoming Wonder Man, uh-huh. and him dying and coming back. But
Now he's in Hollywood.
Now he's, and then he was like, you know what? I'm back to life. I want to become an actor. And this is like, you know, in that phase. But now he's like, you know what?
I feel like usually if you come back to life, you're like, the last thing I want to do is make such a poor life choice.
No, well, maybe he's like, you know, wait, you know, I've always wanted to be an actor.
And he's like, I want to make poor life choices.
Yeah. Well, he makes a lot of poor life choices, but this is when he's in his kind of like, he's not working in Hollywood.
Right.
And he needs something to do, and he's an Avenger, but he kind of doesn't want to be like an Avenger.
Right.
He wants to kind of be on his own. Sorry. You all right?
No. I'm sorry. I'm making all these squeaky noises on my chair.
Oh. Okay.
That's not my body. It's the chair.
It's the ghosts.
It's the ghost chair.
Ghost chair. Anyways, so he needs to like work though. He yeah. wants, he's trying to work. So he's trying to work kind of like a security detail guy.
Yeah. He's trying to do some business.
Yeah.
And so they're going to kick him out, and he's like, well, I've got to be sure that, you know, things are, you know, on the level, because it doesn't feel like they are.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, I'm going to just jump off the back of this truck.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to get rid of me. And he like.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy escape. They're like, get out. And he's like, no.
Yeah. And so he like jumps off the back of the truck. And the truck should have basically flipped over, but it doesn't. And they're like, oh, no. Where'd he go? I don't know. Like, these idiots are not surprised.
He jumps on the wall. Like,
yeah, they're not surprised in the least that this guy like jumped off of the truck so hard it almost flipped.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, let's go get him. So Wonder Man climbs up a wall, breaks the wall.
Yeah, he's doing like a really bad Spider-Man. Yeah,
just like show like kicking it so his foot goes into the wall. And then he like crushes a lock on the door with his hand.
He's just kind of ruining
everything.
He's kind of like that part in Captain America where Captain America's running through the door. He's just like,
yeah.
You know, he's just doing that to like all things.
Pretty much. So he like gets in. And then apparently, like, even though he went in a door, he went in, like, the maintenance door, and so he, like, comes down a shaft, and he's like, oh, this is weird. Like, in a working factory, you know, you really should clean these air vents. You know, that's safety.
Yeah.
And then he looks through a window, and turns out it's not a working factory. And, nope. Like, all the machines are just covered in cloths and stuff, and he's like, oh, what the hell? So he's, like, walking down the hallway, and he gets to a door, and it's like a computer that asks for his security clearance, which he doesn't have, and then it like maces him in the face.
In the face. He gets maced in the face.
Yeah.
Which it's weird because, I mean, he's like a body, like he's essentially living energy.
Yeah.
You know, but why is it that he is affected by this?
It doesn't affect his eyes, but he can't breathe it in. So he's like, well, as long as I don't breathe, I should be okay. But I just saw this panel where he's like adjusting his goggles, and it just makes me think of that Simpsons where it's like, the goggles, they do nothing.
Yeah pretty much.
So he like punches his way out.
He punches his way out and just runs back into the security guys, you know, the guys that kicked him out in the first place.
He like punches his way out and falls down a set of stairs, and the security guys are like, hey, good to see you. And he's like, cool, guys, I can leave now. And they're like, yeah, that was our idea.
Yeah.
So nobody asks, like, hey, you know, anything. He almost got gassed to death, and everybody's like, it's cool.
Yeah. So he basically decides, he's like, I got to get more information on this. Mm-hmm. So he goes and finds his old buddy, Madison. Madison is a name.
Madison. Madison, Madison.
Madison. Madison Dash.
Whatever.
Which is, it's funny because the name Madison Dash sounds like a very, like,
it's a porn star.
Porn, intense star. You know, like, it sounds like a very dynamic name.
Yeah.
And the guy who is Madison Dash, looks like, like I describe him as like a Hispanic Vincent Price.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like Ron Jeremy's thinner, less successful brother.
Yeah. What, Jim Jeremy?
Yeah. Jim Jeremy.
Jim Jeremy. So anyway, so he goes to find him, and this guy's basically like, you know,
in like the worst part of town, running like a joke shop.
It's like a novelties, yeah. Or like a, yeah, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's like a, it's basically like a shitty bodega full, like a place where it's like, come to, you know, New York and get yourself some stuff. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he's also walking down the street, and the kids are like, you know, it's Wonder Man.
Yeah, oh man, Wonder Man.
Hey, yeah. Wonder Man, what are you up to?
Yeah, I love that. That's why I'm not sure where this is set. I don't know if he's in Los Angeles.
No, he's in New York. He's in Brooklyn. Because the guy's in Brooklyn.
That, okay, but that makes so much more sense. Because I'm like, kids in L.A. are not going to say one dumb man.
It's one dumb, yeah, because they spell
it. Dumb man.
They spell it out. They kind of spell it out all like, hey, the Yankees kind of thing, you know? Yeah, I know, but he's like, you know, basically.
And they're like, no, it's that guy who was like on TV for like an episode or something.
Yeah, because he was, you know, he's sort of like a TV star. He was, remember he was in that Monster and Son show?
Sure.
With Monsty.
Sure.
No, you remember the saying it was in the Marvel Toon one we did.
Was it before this or after this?
It's the same time.
Oh, okay. I remember Monsty, but the thing is I'm not sure about the timeline of when
I think it's around the same time. Okay. Maybe a few years later. It was still when he was wearing his jacket.
Yes.
Anyway, so he basically convinces this Madison guy. He's like, look,
Madison, tell me what happened.
Let me just make myself
a drink first.
He's like, I need a hot toddy.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you about how terrible it was. Like, I got kicked out. I have no money. My wife left with the kids because I'm not a provider anymore. And now I'm sad.
Now I look like Vincent Price.
Yeah. Like with the really bad hair.
Really? I'm just like, I'm not washing.
No. He's
definitely
store.
Not washing.
Lives in this store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor guy.
So Wonder Man. And then I don't.
His wife is like, you know, I can't. His wife sucks.
Yeah, kind of.
She's like, you know, instead of like, you know, for poor, richer and poorer, she's like,
I'm peace. Out.
She's like, you suck.
Yeah. I'm out.
I'm going to marry Wonder Man.
No, that's not very smart.
Yeah. So they're sitting there having some coffee and he's like, Wonder Man's like, well, I need to get like some physical evidence that basically the mob is running this. Cause that's what we have. The Maggio.
Yeah.
The Maggio's, you know, mixed up in this and he thinks that the mob is running this operation and there's these buildings and they're doing bad shit.
Right. And so his friend, his Vincent Price friend is just like, let me help you, please. I've got nothing to live for. And the minute that this guy says this, you're like, that guy's going to die. It's the same as wearing a red shirt on Star Trek.
Hang on, let me change it to a red shirt.
Pretty much. He's like, hold on, let me put on my red shirt because you know this guy's dead by the end of this comic book. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to go sneak in back into that factory.
Well, he sneaks it back into the factory. Okay, so they're going to sneak it back to the factory. But the plan involves, because Wonder Man is strong.
Strong and tough, yes.
Tough, and he does this, that, and the other thing. But his buddy, Mr.
Vincent Price with bad hair.
Vincent Price is like, all I can do is like do joke things. Because like I don't have any superpower. Like
tell jokes.
No, like I can use. I have a store for all novelties.
Oh yeah.
So
I'm gonna whip out my squirting flour.
Squirting flour, and this is what he. So in order to provide a distraction, him and Wonder Man are hiding by a wall, and he's like, "Hey, I need to get in there," and he's like, "I need your expertise to get in there. So break out your whoopee cushion."
Oh, I thought that was a joke, but it was an actual whoopee.
No, cushion. He makes a whoopee cushion, and he goes, "Fart." And then the security guard comes by and Wonder Man punches him in the face. That's what
security guard's like, I gotta go see where that fart came from.
Well, you know, if you're secure, but you know, that's actually a good mark of security. If you're a security guard and you hear a loud fart, you know, it's like, who's farting? Like, who's farting very loudly here that should not be here? If it wasn't me, I'd know if it was me.
It's the ghost.
It's the ghost of comedy farts past. I don't know. Who's a comedian that farted a lot?
Was there a comedian that farted a lot?
I don't know.
The gastrointestinal distress comedian?
The farting comedian. Well, no, actually, that's right. There was a whole joke on Mr. Show.
He just walks in and he has like a mic in his butt. Well,
that was a whole joke on Mr. Show where it was a guy, it was a David Cross played a comic that just did a bits where he farted. He's like, you know, it's like, hey, it's Meryl Streep. Fart, you know. I do impressions, right? But at the same time, Bob Odenkirk is in the crowd and he's farting up a storm himself because he's like, I had Mexican Academy. He's like, fart, fart, fart. And everybody's laughing at him. So he becomes like the next big fart artist or, you know, get the fartistry, it says, the king of fartistry. And so he becomes, you know, he starts on a show called Second Wind.
Oh, and everything. No.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's basically what's going on.
I see.
That was my excuse to talk about Mr. Show.
Mm-hmm.
So So Wonder Man's like, I gotta find some. Okay, so he's gotta find some evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has no idea what's in any of the boxes. He's just like, hey, it's a warehouse. I gotta find evidence. Right. And he just proceeds to
rip it, not like open it a little bit. No, he just was like, fuck it.
He
like,
shreds.
Disintegrates.
Why is he? He's disintegrating these boxes. Like, and things. I don't know why the boxes are disintegrating like that. Because all you need to do is like pull one end
right,
off.
Just kind of open. All right, put it back closed. No, he is like literally just ripping them into like tiny pieces. And then he's like, oh look, guns.
Yeah, he's like, hey, look, guns.
And when he finds his guns, his friend comes running around the corner, you know, whoopee cushion guy. And he's like, yes. Hey, look what I found. I found a rocket launcher. And Wonder Man's like, be careful. And the guy's like, shoot.
Yeah, shoots a rocket launcher, like, mere feet away from himself and Wonder Man.
Yeah.
And Wonder Man's like, just kind of like, dolt.
They're like, ooh.
It's a con, you know, it's comedic.
Some wacky hijinks at the gun factory or whatever the fuck.
That's what they should have called this, is wacky hijinks at the gun factory. So real quick, I want to actually just take a moment here. There's an ad here for Marvel's Fun and Games magazine.
Okay.
Which apparently it's kind of like an activity book that they would put out
fun
monthly. And it says like, what do Marvel superheroes do on their day off? And it just kind of, you know, says, you know, what, you know, has like the Hulk and Spider-Woman and Iron Man's like, oh, riddles and jokes. I love them. You know?
Right? Does it say sleep above
his
head?
But they get to everybody, and then they go to Ben Grimm, and it's like, cause like, what do you do on your day off? He's like, I sleep.
Yeah, good call.
and he's kind of sleeping in this picture.
Yeah, I think he is asleep, actually.
I think he's asleep.
Can we order that magazine?
I don't know. We could try to find it. It's probably all the activities are already been done in them.
Meh.
So he's already done the Marvel jumble.
And all the answers are just Captain America.
All the answers.
All of them. Spider-Man.
So anyway, all shit breaks loose.
Yep.
And
the security guards that weren't distracted by the fart.
Yeah, they're running, like, hey, God, I heard somebody fart.
Running down the hallway.
That sounds like a Lego plot point.
It really
does. It's like,
you
know, create a fart machine for to distract, so Captain America can get into the Hydra factory.
To distract these chickens.
That's right. And it would be adorable.
It would be.
Build the fart. You're just building like a giant asshole.
You know? It's a cute asshole. It's a brick asshole.
Build these Lego asshole. You know, like these brown bricks. Build. Anyways.
So his buddy, Wonder Man's buddy, picks up the gun. And Wonder Man's like, you don't know how to use that. He's like, I just pointed and shoot. Now run. So Wonder Man runs to go find his old office where there is the director.
Yes.
And this is a lady, but you never see her face. But you can see that she has boobs.
Yeah. It's an evil lady.
And she's like, aha, Wonder Man, I knew you were coming because you're a hero type. Here, fight this robot.
Is it a silver dreadnought?
And it kind of looks like a monkey.
Yeah, it looks like a big silver monkey. Big silver monkey. Which is funny because it's just kind of hiding in the background. Like,
yeah, he didn't see it when he walked in.
I mean, because the office can't be that big.
No. And this thing is like 11 feet tall.
Yeah, it's gigantic. And it somehow appears behind him. And he's just like, oh, yeah. Hey, a giant robot.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, I got to fight it. So he's fighting it. And the robot like melts the floor.
Yeah.
So they fall into like, I don't know, a giant computer room.
Yeah, he melts the floor like just. It's kind of weird how he melts the floor. It turns into like literally into lava.
Yeah. And then they just fall through it.
And then he starts like, yeah, he's just destroying this friggin' robot. He hates robots like Superman hates robots.
Everyone fucking hates robots.
You know,
he's really against robots. They're robot racists.
And he's having many, many of those thoughts too. He's not just like, holy shit, giant robot, I must fight it and get away. Right. He's like,
I think Iron Man fought one of these and this
one. I think. You know,
you're like, shut up. Just keep kicking ass. And so finally he smashes the robot.
Oh, real quick, there's another. We have
the Hostess fruit pie.
This is actually one of my favorite ones.
Mine too.
The Hostess one where Hulk's
kills everyone.
Yes, because they're like, hey, you know what? This is a really noisy neighborhood. All of a sudden, you know, and the mom's like,
but there's a reason it's a noisy neighborhood. All of a sudden, the reason that this neighborhood is so noisy is because there is a roller skating disco gang.
It's just guys are not really doing anything.
They're a gang.
Why are they a gang?
I don't know, because he says, oh, it's so dangerous, my mom won't even let me go outside anymore, because there's all, like, this gang of adults wearing roller skates and snapping their fingers and listening to boomboxes, and they're like, we can't even go outside anymore, and so Hulk...
But wait, so are they just, like, circling around the same street?
Yes.
Like, over and over again?
They're called... The Roller Disco Devils have been terrorizing the town.
Oh, okay.
And these kids are going, wow, things are really bad. Yeah, our moms won't even let us out of the house. We can't even buy us fruit pies. And Hulk, he doesn't like the noise that they make. So he comes and he rips up the asphalt and he rolls these roller skating guys up in the asphalt, essentially killing them.
Oh, yeah, I know. I saw that and I was like,
like, Hulk, those people are dead.
He's like, these guys are like, they're like,
they had the audacity to roller skate and listen to music at the same time.
And the kids are like, yay, pies.
They're like, I can finally buy a Hostess pie after Hulk literally murdered how many people? 10? 10 yeah. people.
He rolled 10 people up in the street and then sat on his roll.
Those people are dead now.
And they're dead. Like, it's just funny.
And the kids are happy about it.
It's funny because these people are in this rolled up street and they just kind of look like just vaguely inconvenienced.
Yeah, no, they're
not,
dead.
Not like rolled up into blood meat.
No, they're dead now.
Yeah, they're dead.
So Hulk killed some people.
Hulk killed some people and ate a pie.
And people were happy about it. And that's how you advertise Hostess fruit pies.
Kill a person, eat a pie. Anyway, so Wonder Man.
I guess he's trying to get some sort of device, whatever that device is.
This device.
And I don't know. This is the first we've heard of
this evidence.
Device.
It's evidence that he needs evidence. Oh, no, actually, no. He needs some sort of evidence.
Oh, that's what he's after.
Right? But then this woman, the secret woman, is like,
nope.
You know what? You kind of screwed over the mob here, so we're just going to blow up this entire building.
Yeah. Hope that's cool.
Right? Yeah. He's like, and then so Wonder Man's just like, I'm out.
Well, yeah, because she like blows him up, or she's like, I'm going to blow up this whole building.
She's like, you know what? Nobody's going to
fuck it.
Yeah. Right. And so Wonder Man looks and he actually has a moment where he thinks he ponders, wondering if he should chance bolting after the fleeing director to end her criminal career forever. He ponders and decides no.
Yeah.
And he decides to jump out of the building
while screaming.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah, man.
Nah.
And then he goes, Shaffala Bloom. That's what's that? Shaffala Bloom.
So it explodes.
It explodes.
And surprisingly, his friend did not die in this explosion. He somehow made it out.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah, no, actually, that's the thing. When I first saw this, I go, his friend is like dead.
I'm like, he had no warning that this thing was going to blow up. But his friend is not dead for two more panels. So he like shuffles out. He's like, oh, man, did it. Wonder Man, it's so great. Tell my horrible wife that I love her. Dead.
Yes.
And then he dies, and Wonder Man's like, and he kind of looks sad, but he also kind of looks like, I kind of knew you were going to die on this mission.
He's so like, kind of like, be kinda that like sad. He probably should have came with me.
He's like, I kind of killed my friend. Oh, well. At least he doesn't live in a joke shop anymore.
At least he doesn't have
now to. Now he lives in the ground.
Now he's going to pour a toddy out on his grave. Just in honor of dead Vincent Price.
Grandma doesn't smile anymore. I just have, hear like a Ralph Wiggum voice.
Yeah, but he's basically now Wonder Man has decreed vengeance on the mob.
Yeah.
Because haven't we all?
Vengeance.
He's like, I will kill the mob.
Yeah.
With my bare hands.
I have to go get the mob and kill them, etc. And that's it. That's the end of Wonder Man.
That's it. Yeah, that's how this ends. Yeah, it's kind of underwhelming. It's his first solo adventure, and I'm like, oh, well, you know. I mean, at least though, you get to kind of see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's basically super strong, and he clings to walls, and he smashes.
But not
things.
Like a Spider-Man. I think that was just he did that.
He did that just for the fuck of it.
For the fuck of it. That's not actually his thing.
Yeah. But that's it for Wonder Man. He's and then he went on to fart around the adventure some more, and I love him.
I know you do.
I don't know what else to say.
I don't know why you love Wonder Man so much.
I just like it.
He's just your guy.
He's just my favorite.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's it from Marvel Premiere featuring Wonder Man number 55 from August 1980. How would you say this? Would you want to read another story about Wonder Man fighting the mob?
Well, I'm certain that I probably will have to at one point if we continue to do this show. So
I don't know if this ever got followed up on, to be honest. Huh. I don't know.
I would really like to see if it did, because, I mean, sure. But if I read another Marvel premiere, it'll probably feature another character.
It'll probably just be another character thing. Unless if they followed this up in the next issue, but I don't think they did.
Probably not. I'll have to check out. I'll read more Marvel premieres.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about Marvel Man fighting the mob.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, this is one of those comic books written in like the late 70s, early 80s that I kind of love because they're all fucking stupid. So, yeah.
It'd be great if the cover just said Wonder Man beats up Italians.
I'd be like, what'd you do to my people? And I'd read it anyway. Not that they probably wouldn't deserve it.
Oh, they totally deserve it.
That woman just killed that poor guy.
She killed Vincent Price.
And I'm assuming her entire security detail, because they're all in there too.
Everybody's dead.
Because, janitor's dead. Vincent Price was shooting at those guys.
Yeah, all those people are just...
I'm assuming they're all
dead. And he just left them to shoot at each other.
Yeah.
So they were just been shooting at each other for, like, however long he was doing his bullshit.
They had all the ammo. I mean, luckily, because it was a...
It was full of guns.
Yeah, and Wonder Man had destroyed all those boxes, so at least he could get to the guns, because they were just all over the floor.
Yeah. So it was a really sweet game of Doom they were playing for a little while there. Okay, well, we'll be back with the next book.
What's going on, guys? It's Stephen Kramer Glickman. You guys know me from TV show Big Time Rush. You may know me as Trevor on Workaholics, but some of you just know me as a comedian. And guess what? I've got this awesome show. It's called The Nighttime Show, and we're doing it right here on Sideshow Network. You can check out the show live at the Hollywood Improv, but guess what? You can also check out the podcast,
Steven,
which is going to be here from now on the Sideshow Network. It's really, really cool. I'm bringing my entire team, all my guys, and some of the most incredible people you've ever met. Look, it's a live late night show. We have we do great stuff, bits. We talk about things that are happening in the news. Comedians come on the show. Rappers come on the show. Famous voiceover actors. People from your childhood. It's a very unpredictable show. Sometimes it gets uncomfortable, but it's always a lot of fun. All right.
Hey, Steven.
Yes, Robbie.
Steven, your car's on fire.
Okay. Look, it's the nighttime show is every Wednesday with me, Stephen Kramer Glickman. And if you're in Hollywood, join us live at the Hollywood Improv for the stage show.
Steven,
you are not going to forget it.
Steven.
Check improv.com for more details.
Steven, I tried peeing on the fire and it only made it angrier.
Why would you pee on the fire?
Because I'm trying to put the car out.
Robbie.
The car is on fire, Steven.
Robbie. Okay, listen, guys. Download, rate the show, subscribe on iTunes, or check with us on the Sideshow Network .tv/nighttime show.
Steven, hurry. Your Academy Award winning car is on fire.
Oh, my God.
Steven, you're my ride home.
I got to go. My car is
on fire. Steven, the fire is angry.
My car is on fire. I got to go.
There's a skookit on board of a boat. Going to a different country to live free skookit life.
What? And welcome back to Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. We are going to jump to our next book. It is a returning favorite and a request. Because we do take requests, by the way. You know, if we have them.
Sure.
We will take a request. If you are able to contact the show at Sean@SideshowNetwork.tv.
Or, you know, tweet us.
Or Twitter at us. Yeah, we'll tell you our Twitters later. So
tweet.
You can Twitter at us. You can whatever. Just find us and let us know.
Is Twitter a thing? Like you said, you can Twitter at us. You mean tweet?
You can tweet at us. You can leave a review on iTunes, all that good stuff. So anyways, so we're doing Superboy.
We sure are.
We're doing The New Adventures of Superboy, number 41 from May 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover, it's Superboy, and it's now he's the Boy of Steel for real.
Yeah.
And we see Superboy looking at his hands using his X-ray vision and noticing that he is
Cyborg Superman.
Cyborg Superman.
He also has no nose, so he looks like Voldemort.
He's Voldemort Superman.
And there's also like an alien bug thing, like staring at him, being like, like all creepy, because I'm assuming that's just like he's a molester or something.
Anyway. So we start off. It's called The Teen of Steel for Real, which fuck that title.
That title's fucking stupid.
Fuck you, book. Fuck you. Anyway, so Superboy, we start off with Pa Kent and Superboy on the street, assumingly in Smallville.
Where there's a bank robbery going down.
There's a hardcore bank robbery.
Yeah, and I'm assuming like Smallville has like maximum 40 people. So I don't know why all this crime continues to happen in Smallville. Like maybe it's like on the road between two big cities.
I think it is. It's close to Metropolis. You're driving to Metropolis in Kansas City.
Yeah, you're like, oh, well, I didn't get enough robbing done in Kansas City. So I'm going to rob in Smallville and then go to Metropolis.
It's a good place to stop.
Like, I get my fix. It's like going to Starbucks.
Stop, do your killing, do your robbing.
Robbing.
Yeah.
And Superboy's completely ignoring it, and Pa Kent's like, but there's a robbery, and Superboy's like, I don't care. I am not going to... Superboy is dead.
Yes.
Fuck Superboy. It's just me now, Clark Kent.
Because for some reason, he feels like he should basically... Okay, so basically what happened was, from what I understand, he heard Ma Kent... overheard her telling everybody
that he was Superboy. Yes.
And he is depressed about that.
Yeah, but I think nobody believed her.
Well, right, because that's absolutely crazy. Because in this reality...
Clark is a goof and he's a clumsy...
Yeah,
he's a hardcore... No one believes him. And so he's kind of like... And I can understand. This is a legitimate thing that Superman and Superboy would have to deal with is the fact that people look at Clark Kent like he's a doofus.
Yeah.
And he's clumsy, and he's, you know, whatever. He's a dork. He's a nerd. But they love Superboy and think he's, like, the shining example of, like, masculinity or whatever. So I can understand how Superman, Superboy would feel some resentment towards that.
He has emotions.
However, he doesn't have to make Clark Kent that dorky.
Yeah.
That's his choice. You know what
I mean?
That's
his choice to act like Clark Kent is a big loot.
So he could just change that a little bit and he would probably be happier, but instead he decides to give up being Superboy.
He decides to give up being Superboy and he kind of thinks back about how some girl, Debbie Wallach, told him to, you know,
go
fuck off on a stick. And,
eat a dick.
You know, because he's like, hey, date. And she's like,
nope.
Nah, man. And then apparently he tried to save some sort of armored car. And there was, he almost hurt somebody.
Yeah. And so he's like, I give up.
And then he heard, you know, his mom. And then he's just like, oh, you know, so he's like, fuck it.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to help those people. Those people, you know, there were crimes before I got here. There will be crimes after. They'll be fine.
People be criming.
Yeah. People be criming. And people they'll be fine. And so Pa Kent's like, what the hell's wrong with him? So as they're walking off, we see his buddy. What's his buddy's name?
Pete Ross.
Pete Ross,
Man of Steel fame, who used to work in who worked in the IHOP.
Oh, that's right.
That was a big deal. That was a big deal because he used to fuck with Clark when he was a kid.
And they are like friends now.
Well, they became friends. Was he one of the kids that was best with them? Like he was
maybe at one point
beat up at the fence, and he's like, he's like, I could have killed them all, and his father's like, don't kill anybody
or do
whatever. I'm a shitty Pa Kent.
Yeah, see,
I'm talking about this one makes right. sense, but
this
I'm talking
Pa Kent,
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, Kevin Costner's Pa Kent's like, it doesn't matter if people live. This Pa Kent's like, no, but you really should do something. And I think Pa Kent from the movie would be like, that's right, son, just let them.
Yeah, let those kids drown. Let those kids in the bus drown, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
So,
Pete Ross
apparently spends, because I've read many, I have so many of these Superboy comics.
Yes.
Pete Ross literally spends 90% of the comic drawn behind a wall watching Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So he's creepy, and he's a stalker, and I think he's in love with Clark, and he just doesn't want to admit it.
Yes.
Then that's fine.
You want to stick in the IHOP?
Yeah, he hasn't come out of the closet. I understand you guys live in a small town. It's the early 80s. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he will move to like West Hollywood and he will meet nice boys. But until then, he will just creep on Clark Kent. So he watches, like, he's like, oh man, I don't know what's going on with Clark. He's not turned into Superboy. But that's probably because he literally, like, took his costume off in the middle of a field and then threw it into space.
Well, yeah, that's what it looks like.
That's what Pete
basically Ross he watched Superboy run, you know, somehow quickly remove the Superboy costume while it's under Clark's clothes, because Clark's wearing like his usual, like,
sweater
slacks, and then he somehow takes off the outfit, balls it up, and throws it seemingly into space.
Yeah, he threw laundry into space. That's what Pete Warross just watched Superboy do. He was like, fuck this laundry.
But he watched it fly.
Yeah.
And
land in a field.
In the cow pasture. Probably in a big pile of cow shit, hopefully.
And Pete Ross is like, I'll just keep it.
He's like, you know what? You might need it someday.
Put it around a pillow.
Yes.
And he's just like holding it at night. And he's like, oh, Superboy.
Yeah, you know, there was some weird stuff going on.
There was some real weird shit.
You know, he tried it on.
When he gets back, he's like, this cape has some, like, stiff spots. And he's like, don't worry, don't ask.
You know, he tried it on. You know, he cut some holes in it to do stuff.
It was weird. It was like a fleshlight involved. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. So then we got to space.
Space.
Where
sadly, it is not a spaceship getting hit with laundry.
That's what it should have been. This should have been this. Because it's like two panels later. It should have just been the balled up Superboy suit just crashing through
this. And just exploding a ship and being like,
that would have been funny.
A bunch of aliens being like, hey, we're here to kill Earth. And it's like, kaboom. It's like Superboy threw our laundry into Earth.
So these aliens have a very convoluted, pointless
plan. Are you able to explain this?
No, I'm going to try. So, okay. So these aliens are hanging out near Earth.
Yeah.
Because they want to use the Earth as like a portal between their planet and the planet they're at war with, mm-hmm. to somehow blow up the planet they're at war with.
I don't get it.
I don't understand how this works, because it says our plan is to summon a super weapon from our home world via a space warp connecting it with Earth, a weapon we will then fire through a second warp near the Earth to destroy our enemy's planet, thus avoiding risk of battle and losing against our foes' superior numbers.
So,
and I really don't know,
but it's just, is it maybe because the warps that they need to access are closest to are by Earth?
Sure,
we just don't know that, but that's just what happened. It happens to be.
Like, can't you just put it on a ship and like fly through it, like fly toward and like blow it up that way?
Yeah, no, they totally could do it. They could totally, that makes sense too. But this is so, but I guess so.
So it's this very convoluted plan that they have to use Earth.
But where the Superboy comes in apparently is
it'll never work if Superboy is there, because he'll be able to stop their plan.
Yeah.
So they're like,
with laundry.
So they're like, well, here's an idea. We have this cool random weapon that turns all of organic matter into metallic substances. So we'll
turns
just
to Metallica.
We'll just turn Superboy into Metallica.
We'll just start with Kurt Hammett. Oh, sweet. Wherever I might roam, it's like,
yeah.
We're gonna turn him into that creepy guy from the Unforgiven video that allowed me to not watch it for years.
Yeah,
because I still can't today. Thank you.
Seriously?
Yeah, this freaks me out. Because at one point he starts like shaking, he's like, and I'm like, that guy's on the road with that guy, and I can't see his face, and I'm scared. It's like the Thriller video.
Okay. Like, why? Are you legitimately scared of the Thriller video? Because I
was for a long time, yes.
I made you watch it. I was like, it's not
right,
scary.
But then I realized I was married.
Love Italian horror movies.
I know. Isn't that weird?
You, like, you're obsessed with, like, people getting stabbed in the eyeball in, like, Italian horror movies.
Yes, but but those two videos have
watch Dario Argento shit constantly, and, like, for some reason you're afraid of the Unforgiven guy.
Yes.
Yes. That's really weird. So Superboy is going to be transformed into Metallica, and in about two issues he's going to release Kill 'Em All and change the entire world. So they're like, oh, this is great. So the following day, Superboy is wandering along with Lana Lang,
mm-hmm.
and Lana's like, I haven't seen Superboy, and he's like, I guess he died.
Nah, man.
And then Clark sees the girl who rejected him.
Right. And so Clark basically is like, I'm a new man.
Yeah, I'm a new man. I realize this woman has literally told me no and to leave her alone. But you know what? I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to completely ignore what she actually physically said to me. I'm going to go over there and ask her out again.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and by ask her out, I'm going to shove my tongue down her throat.
Yeah, I'm literally going to be like, you want to go to the dance? And she's going to say, no, Clark, I already told you. I already have a fucking date because I already have a boyfriend.
After the football team, the entire football team asked me, and I would rather go with all of them than just one of you.
Yeah. And he's like, well, how about this? And he grabs her and kisses her, which that right there, that could be classified as assault.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, how about now? And she's like, yes. Nah. And I'm like, this is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously written by a dude, because this is not cute or romantic. This is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But so many guys were like, oh, it's so romantic.
I wonder if like there were some kids in 1980 that were reading this. Or 1983, they were reading this and just weren't like, all right, Superboy, high five.
Yeah.
Oh, how many friends?
Because you know what's going to keep you safe? A dude who completely doesn't listen to anything you say and then forces his tongue down your throat. That's a guy you should date.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, oh my God. And they're like, what's wrong with you? That guy is an asshole. She's like, but he just kissed me and oh man, it was so great.
Yeah, his friends actually really hate Clark.
Yeah, well, their friends are right. Because
right, he does suck, but they're like, he's a fucking nerd,
well,
you know?
Not the fact that he's a nerd, but like your friends should hate a guy who forcefully kisses.
They should,
you.
Yeah. I think they're more. Here's the thing: they're more upset that the fact that she's
that
into him.
He's a nerd. Yeah,
that he's a nerd, than rather than he just forced himself onto their friend.
Yeah,
in the middle of daylight,
in front of like seven other women. Like, this is really creepy.
And then there's another girl there. I forgot what her name is.
I don't know, girl.
Betty McSad.
Betty McSad, and she's like, oh, I didn't think he was like those other boys.
Which apparently that means that such assaults take place all the time in Smallville.
This is all that happens in Smallville.
Smallville.
Forcing chicks to kiss them all the time.
Hardcore bank robberies.
And apparently.
And sexual assaults.
Sexual assaults that I'm assuming lead to constant rapes.
Constant rapes.
There's just nothing else going on.
And then you got creepy. All the boys are watching other boys throw laundry into space.
Yeah. So, like, the boys who aren't assaulting women
don't live
are
in Smallville.
Stalking the boys that they like. So never go to Smallville. Apparently it's a horrible
How come
point.
Smallville TV show wasn't like that?
Should have been.
Should have just been, like, 30 minutes of Tom Wiling throwing, or whatever the fuck his name is, throwing his clothes into space and then stealing kisses from girls.
Oh,
and
God. It would have been horrifying.
And it's the CW. It's a great show, guys.
Yeah. So, Clark decides that because you can do this, apparently, you can just decide to join teams.
Okay, here's the thing. You could try out for a football team.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year, or maybe during the weekend. Unless if maybe there's, you know, it's a Smallville school, small school. Maybe mm-hmm. they need extra guys. They need somebody.
Because the rest of them are either committing robbing banks.
They're all in jail or robbing banks. It's there's like three dudes.
This is a horrible town. This is like what you don't see are like all the meth houses.
Yes.
It's like nobody here has teeth. That's why you can't actually. Wait. Everybody's on meth.
Yes.
In this fucking town.
They all.
It's a wasteland.
They gum down their food. Anyways, so.
At the IHOP.
Well, here. Oh, this is such good pancakes. Oh, pancake puree. Mm. Can I have some applesauce for my pancake puree?
So Clark gums down some pancakes, and then he decides that he's just going to put on a football uniform, which I'm assuming he found
first of all,
in the locker room?
Guys, let me just tell you something. I used to play football.
Yes.
In high school. I used to play football, much like Clark here. I was terrible at it. Shock.
What was your joke about that? You had a joke.
I was left out.
My position
was left out.
Like fourth string bench or something.
I was fourth string bench or fourth, whatever. It was. Yeah. Yeah, guess what, guys? I was also a comedian.
Yeah, stand-up comedian.
I did stand-up before, guys. So many things to be revealed here. I'm afraid of the Unforgiven video. I used to play football in high school, and I was a stand-up comedian once, which is how Jen met me.
Yes.
So,
Can I just tell you that the shock that everybody had to find out that I was dating a former high school football player, considering I was a goth in high school and hated all organized sports.
Did people really get shocked by that?
I was shocked by it. My sister was a little shocked by it.
What, that I used to play football?
No, that I would date anybody who used to play high school football because I was goth.
But I don't look like that, though.
Well, yes, I know.
I mean, maybe back. I mean, because here's the thing.
Granted, we were older when we met. It wasn't like we were fresh out of high school either.
Yeah, it's true. It wasn't like I was like 21. And no. I was like, even here's the thing, though. Even if you met me when I was 21, you wouldn't still think I played football in high school.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's like, and the reason why I played football in high school.
Because everybody played football?
Because there was like.
Because you went to Smallville High?
I went to Smallville High because it was a smaller school.
And they needed and since all
I,
the bodies.
And since I was over 5'11", and, you know, I had no like agency of my own to do anything else, mm-hmm. really, other than just read comics and watch wrestling. You know, I was like, well, I guess I'll do something else. I'll play football, you know, because my parents were really into, you know, whatever. It's guys, you know what? I'm gonna go talk to my therapist right now. but listen, I used to play football, mm-hmm. and first of all, to get all the football pads. You kind of have, I mean, not stealing some shoulder pads, I can understand. But you need the pant, the leg pads,
he's got
the
all
ass
of it.
Pad, the hip pads.
And he has all of it. It's drawn in here.
Yeah, he's got everything. You get to get the proper helmet. I mean, getting a helmet.
Cup?
The cup. Yeah,
I mean, Superboy wouldn't need a cup. I mean, he wouldn't need all these pads, but to look the part, he would have to have them.
And you
and don't you have to spend a shit ton of money to get those?
No, you don't. So here's the thing. We just, our school, we didn't buy our own pads. You had to buy your own cleats.
Right. And cup.
And cup.
Yeah.
But everything else was provided to you by, and your own mouth guard. Mm-hmm. But everything else was provided to you by the school. Cause I had just like, hey, you know, what size are you? Okay. Blah, 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 right. whatever. So, you know, that's how that worked.
So did he like break into like the,
he broke into the equipment cage,
took all the equipment that he needed and just ran out onto the field during practice and said, hey coach, I'm here to play. And yeah. The coach went, okay.
The coach went, you're a fucking nerd, but whatever.
Yeah, fine.
And then he's like, I don't think you're any good. And then Superman like gets a pick, you know, he gets an interception. He's like, oh, beginner's luck. I'm like, who cares? He's doing good.
Yeah. He's doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Superman goes into the shower and he's like, ow, my tummy. I'm turning into metal. Basically, that's what's happening.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't feel so well. He's turning into metal.
He turned into Metallica.
Because he like x-rays himself and he's like, holy shit, I look like Metallica. This is terrifying. There's just like,
oh my God, little, I look like
there's little Lars Ulrichs just like climbing every bone in my body. They're just like sitting there and they all have like a white leather jacket on when he was like obsessed with Guns N' Roses and he had like little drumsticks.
Lars?
Yeah, Lars was totally obsessed with Guns N' Roses. Don't you remember that? That's like from the Behind the Music. And then they show that picture of Lars where he's like, everybody else is in black and Lars has a white leather jacket on.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they all. Yeah,
just
exactly.
Like, and like Kurt Hammett is just like hanging out on his joints.
Yeah, Kurt Hammett's in the background listening to UFO records.
So he's like, oh, well, I got to figure out what's going on. So
apparently he does a blood test on himself, which
how does he draw blood?
I was thinking that too. It's like, so wait, because he can't even like use Earth instruments. Unless if he has like a Kryptonian instrument of some sort.
Maybe he just carries it around with him.
Well, remember those tools that they used in that World's Finest
where they did surgery on Supergirl? Yes.
Yeah. So that's what they used here.
Yeah. He must just carry them around. I'm assuming like in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm. With stab, stab, stab.
And he's like, oh, juice. I have, he's like, and he pulls out Metallica and he's like, oh shit, I've got Metallica in me.
He's like, oh shit, For Whom the Bell Tolls, right?
Yeah. And they're all, just, like,
I feel like I'm missing really good Metallica jokes right now.
Are there a lot of,
well, no, just like better things to be saying, you know, that could be like, oh, like I can pull off a good Memory Remains joke or something, like a pun, good Metallica puns.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are. Good Metallica puns.
This is why I'm not a comedian anymore.
I am not good at puns. I never have been.
No.
So it's not my forte.
Okay.
Somebody, if you have them, tweet them at us.
Yes.
Pretend it's at midnight and just fucking tweet. You know, Metallica, superhero.
You know what? Just tweet at midnight.
Yeah, just like hashtag.
Metallica puns.
Yeah, Metallica puns or like super Metallica puns or something at midnight and they won't have any idea what's going on.
And they'll be like, oh, I guess this is our hashtag.
Like, I guess this is it. Hashtag wars, you win.
And then
points. And so he sees these things and he's like, oh, this is, something's going on. I'm becoming metal. I don't know how to cure myself. I don't know how to fix this microbe living inside of me. He's like, I guess even the new Clark Kent can still be a sucker. So he's literally going to be the teen of steel because he's actually turning into metal.
Yeah.
So we go back to the Kent's house, and you know, Pa Kent's really worried about both Ma Kent and Clark. And then Clark has somehow found his Superboy costume. I guess he had to steal it.
Well, we find out where he found it.
I know. I'm saying he had to steal it from his buddy. Took it off the pillow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Flies up to the ship, and he's like, I am a teen of steel. I will help you.
And I am Robot Man.
Yeah, they want him to do something.
He has, like, Warbot skin and stuff.
Right. And, of course, like, instead of putting the ray through the portal, he destroys it.
Yeah.
Because they have the fucking weapon on their ship. I don't know why they need this portal, but whatever.
They could have hired just, like, a strong alien man.
Couldn't get Lobo to do it?
He's a mercenary. Right? He will do that. It's
exactly.
Like, hey,
that's what you have Lobo for.
You can literally pay Lobo a couple bucks and be like, I just need you to throw that into there. And he's like, sure, whatever.
Like, all right.
Do I need to kill anybody? He's like, I kill you. Dead. You know?
He's like, throw in the killing for free.
Look, I'll kill you, but I'll throw this in there first. Because we're like, well, okay, can I see you at least throw it into the portal first?
Yeah, or like maybe you could kill somebody I don't like. And he's like, all right, you know, whatever. It's your die.
Well, I got this kid coming up. You want to kill him?
Yeah, all right. I'm not doing
it. Maybe all metal. You want to shoot him in the face?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like, that's what I do. I'm Lobo. I'd love to shoot kids in the face. So.
Lobo should appear on Gotham.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. I just thought that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. And actually, him and Harvey Bullock would have a good time.
That would actually be really funny. I don't know why they don't use... They need to give Harvey Bullock more screen time on that show because he is the best character.
I propose a Harvey Bullock Lobo show to be on Fox instead of Gotham.
I would love that show.
I would watch it.
Yeah.
I will write it right now. Excuse me, guys. Hey, Fox. I'll just go throw it through the window like with a bat attached to it and be like... No bat.
No bat.
No bat.
So, Superboy's like, I was just kidding.
I was only
about
joking.
this metal thing.
Psych.
I'm not actually metal. I'm here.
I'm Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
Cross forever.
I actually really love Yanni.
he just turns into Super Yanni.
He's like,
oh,
I'm
no,
gonna
it's
lay
Yanni.
Down some Songbird.
Whatever.
Or Kenny, who did song?
That was Kenny G.
Kenny G
did Songbird. Yanni did I Got a Mustache.
I don't know. They're just both white dudes with long, flowy
brown
hair.
I don't know. I don't understand.
Tell them apart.
I don't understand what new age music is.
Neither do I.
It's like goth.
Is it pure moods? Do you remember the pure
right,
moods
right, but
soundtrack?
That's like something like, I don't know. And I worked at a record store for years.
Is it Return to Innocence? Is it Enya?
Here's the thing. In the record store I used to work at, Enya would be in pop rock. But Yanni would be in New Age. Because New Age had its own section.
So, like, if you listen to New Age, like, I don't know. Do you have to have, like, incense and candles?
Well, I don't know. It's not so much about candles. I think it's about pianos and synthesizers and, you know, like, do, 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 do. And then it's like you're singing about love, and sometimes you get like
chimes, maybe?
You get some chimes, you get some, I don't know. I don't know. I'm terrible at, you know what? I would fail at New Age trivia.
Because there's so much New Age trivia going on.
Yeah, I'm certain there's a New Age podcast out there right now that is like, you know, we're the best at what we do.
Somebody's screaming at us right now in their car.
Yeah,
New Age! I know what it is!
They're like,
fucking morons.
They're like, mention Tangerine Dream or something.
I don't know the difference between Kenny G and Yanni.
Kenny G is a soft jazz.
Oh yeah, I remember he had the soprano saxophone and Songbird used to play on the radio.
I don't think you could be.
My dad liked that song.
I don't think you can be a New Age if you have a saxophone.
So where does he go? Soft, super.
He's in jazz. He's a smooth jazz man. When in the record store, he is jazz.
I don't like any of this. So, Superboy, who is now smooth jazz, apparently, steals everybody's guns and rolls them up into a ball and then throws the ship through the breach. And Then close.
And then somehow, yeah, he closes the space breach
with his supervision,
which
with his
bullshit. Because you got that is that.
I don't think that's how wormholes work.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh,
needs
he would
to fact,
have problems with this.
He would have a problem with this book in the first place. But for certain, yeah, I saw that and I was like, look, I know comic books are bullshit, but that's impossible bullshit.
Yeah, he's like, I'll never have to worry about this again because I'm shutting it off. Because
you close a space rift with your eyes.
I don't think wormholes work that way.
Bullshit.
I really don't think
that actually upsets me. I'm kind of frustrated right now.
Yeah. And he's like, well, there you go. And he's like, but you know what? This is how I figured it out. I was laying in my bed.
Being sad.
Really sad. Kind of like laying like he's like fainting. He's got like his hand up to his head and he's like very upset. And he's like, and then I got this idea that if I could zap myself with electricity, I would kill all these little metal guys living in my body.
Yeah.
So I started a fire.
Yep.
With my eyes, mm-hmm. and blew a transformer mm-hmm. at the power plant, and then I went in and electrocuted myself.
Yeah.
And luckily, my buddy left my Superboy costume
in the
cow field.
Yeah, he went back to the cow field and was like, "I guess it's still here."
He takes it home at night. He snuggles with it, and then he like puts it back and just waits.
No, because in the book, he's like, I got to put it back because maybe I got to hold on to it if he needs it. But he can't. But as we find out, Pete's been following him.
Exactly. He's creepy.
He's been following Clark.
He's a stalker.
For like the entire time. Like, surprisingly, he is not in any window shots when he's looking. When Clark, like, how is he not in space?
I don't know.
Following him.
You should see him like looking in Clark's window right here.
Pretty much.
Because he is a stalker.
He is stalking Clark.
And it's creepy. So that's creepy. So he's like, oh, here I am. Yay, it's me. I'm back. Superboy's back. And then he like tells people.
So he
goes to the newspaper office.
Yes.
To tell people that there was like some sort of like virus
mm-hmm.
that made people act in a way they normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
And made them lie and say things they wouldn't say because his mother was apparently affected by this as well.
Yeah.
So they put it out in the paper and they're like, oh, Superboy infected all these people with this horrible organism.
Yeah.
And so at school, the girl
he gave everybody fucking AIDS.
He gave them space AIDS.
He gave them space AIDS.
She comes up and she's like, Clark Kent, how dare you? You gave me space AIDS. And he's like, does that mean we're not going out, Debbie?
Wait, so why is she, but how does she know that? Because she doesn't know that he's Superboy. Superboy gave everybody space AIDS. He didn't, you know, it's not like he was like, I'm Superboy, here's AIDS. Or space AIDS.
I think Superboy had told, here, let me read this.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. I think Superboy had told them that he exposed everybody.
Yeah.
And probably said, including Clark Kent.
So he made out with Clark.
Yeah.
So we're trying
to basically
think
Superboy was like, I came back to Earth and I shoved my tongue down Clark's throat and now he's acting weird. So that's why he sexually assaulted that girl at school. And then she's like, oh, how dare you? And she like, apparently she's also infected, but she doesn't have to get electrocuted. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah.
Because his mom's infected. So shouldn't she be electrocuted?
Just,
I don't know.
Just throw the ball in the pool and throw a toaster in there.
It's fine.
It's the Smallville swim days with a toaster. And he's like, he just gets a bunch of toasters from Sears where his mom works and just throws them all in the pool in the community pool at Smallville. And everybody's cured.
They're also dead.
They're also dead, but yeah, whatever.
Cured.
But they are cured.
That's all the
matter. He's like, Superboy's like, I set out to do what I did. I did what I set out to do. I did not say that they would live, but I said they'd be cured.
And I cured them.
I said that I could not cure them of life. Or cure them of dying.
It's fine. No one can really cure you of death. It's fine. So Superman kills everybody, or Superboy kills everybody in town.
Yeah.
But this girl was like, oh, I guess we're not going out. And then he's like, oh, man, I guess I don't have anybody to go to the dance with. Should I assault somebody else? And Lana's like, I don't know, maybe you should just ask this chick who is also following you around, which at this point I think is what's his name in a wig.
It's Pete.
It's Pete.
She's blonde.
She's also following him around.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, I guess.
Don't these people have class?
No.
Learning.
And her name is Lisa. And he's like, oh. He goes over and he's like, hi. And she's like, hi, did you want to ask me something? And he's like, you want to go to the dance? She's like, yes. And he's like,
he's like, yeah, you want to go in the, you want to get in this pool real quick? I think I gave everybody AIDS. I can cure you with this toaster.
It's like, so Pete is now dressing as a woman in hopes.
Yes.
Because I can hold that. I'm like, why?
Pete.
She's also following him around and also blonde.
Pete Ross.
Is in love.
He loves Superman, but he paid a very dear price because I think something happened with his kid, like in another book that I have, mm-hmm. where like the kid got like taken away to like Magic Mountain or some bullshit. And actually, I think it's Pete Ross's kid is the kid on the cover of that book where Superman's coming into the room and the kid's on the bed crying.
Oh, okay.
So. Shit goes down.
Oh, okay.
So that's yeah.
So that's Superboy.
So I don't want to read this.
I didn't read the Dial H for Hero at the back.
Yeah, there's Dial H.
But I did read this meanwhile.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this real quick.
Signed by Dick.
Oh, Dick. All right. Dick Giordano.
So it's really funny. He's talking about how he was going to conventions and how he was holding panels called like How to Break into Comics. And people who brought their portfolios with them, he would sit there and talk to them and look at their work.
Oh, man.
And try to keep up communication with the people he thought were good enough.
Oh, man.
So
through space,
he's like, I couldn't do it.
Pigeons.
So, hey, we have a new talent coordinator, and this is his name. And here are the tips that you need. And if you want to send stuff to Sam, go ahead and follow these tips.
Okay.
So you can break into comics.
So how do you break into comics in 1983?
Well, you send a packet to Sal Amdola.
Queen Amidala. Yeah. Okay.
You mail copies, not originals,
mm-hmm.
obviously. Pack them securely with heavy cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Use sufficient postage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't scrub the postage.
But don't, just for like first class, don't splurge or it's a waste of money. Put someone's name on it, like Sal's. Put your address on every page because shit gets, you know, separated.
That's true.
Make sure to include a self-addressed stamped envelope so we can send your shit back. And if you're good, we might call you.
Oh, man.
That's how you get into comics.
That's
in 1983.
That's it.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
That's it. That's it,
now,
guys.
You can't send anything to DC.
So, now you just have to basically, I don't know.
I'm assuming you have to, like, meet Jeff Johns at a con.
Is Jeff Johns at a con?
Just give him a pallet of PBRs. just like pull it behind you and be like, here you go.
Just pull up a cooler of PBRs and be like.
Not a cooler, a pallet.
A pallet, okay.
Like something you'd have to put on a forklift.
Just deliver constantly deliver PBRs to Jeff Johns and he will hire you.
And if you meet Dan Didio, you have to tell him, I also hate happiness.
Yes,
and I think like, it also I don't like relationships either.
It also helps. Like, yeah. It also helps while you do these things if you dress up as Pete Ross in a wig.
Yeah,
and then throw your laundry into space. If you could be like, hey Dan, did you come on outside? I'm gonna throw my laundry into space, and he's like, that's pretty good. You know what? You're hired.
Yeah, you're totally hired.
That's how you get into DC.
You don't want any of these superheroes to be married. Good, me either. You're in.
Throw marriage into space.
So basically, what you do is you write marriage on your laundry.
And what you do is you take. What you do is actually at a Comic Con this year, they're going to have a little competition of who can take like a little like cake decoration of a groom and a husband, and how
right
far you can throw it. And if you can throw it into space, you get hired. That's how it's only happening.
Whoever throws that the farthest gets to write Superman.
Gets to write. Yes,
that's how it goes.
That's
totally
doesn't matter.
How Rob Liefeld got his job.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just threw that cake topper farther than anybody else.
He also did it in jeans.
And Gail Simone threw it farther than anybody else that year. I mean, that is how you break into comics, people.
Anna Senti did it backwards, and she still got the job. She threw it into the ground. She went, ah.
And they're like, you know what? That's far enough this year. Because
I was like, you know what? You're pretty good.
Yeah, that's how you get hired at DC Comics.
That's how this works.
That's your interview. Like, you just, like, go in, and it's just like a shot put.
Actually, that'd be kind of fun. I used to like shot put and discus. See, I was also an athlete in that too. Guys, I used to throw shot put and discus in high school. I was a star athlete. More like a -3-star athlete. Anyways,
I never participated in sports
mm-hmm.
in high school. In junior high, I played basketball and volleyball.
I'm surprised you didn't play more basketball.
Yeah. I'm also really not coordinated.
That's the thing. You kind of have to be able to walk.
Yeah, I can't.
I can't do that either.
I was taller than everybody else, so you'd think I'd be good at basketball, but I couldn't actually like keep a grip on the ball.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because people try to get it out of your hands
and
then it hits your finger and it sucks.
You're like, Jen, you'd be really good at sports because you're tall. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I'm also lazy.
I'm also like, I don't want to like really try that hard.
I don't want to like expend any energy.
I like the exercise, but I don't really like want to try because I don't care if we win or not.
I don't. I'm so not competitive either. I'm just like, oh, hey, we played a game and everyone's like, I'm sad we lost. I'm like, I actually don't care if we lost.
It's like, yeah, really, what's the big deal if
we
lose?
I really don't. To this day, I'm so not
competitive. I'm not going to go to college for this. Actually, when my football coach in college was like, he's like, you know, I could talk to the Buff State, you know, because I'm at Buffalo State College. And he's like, I could talk to the coach Buffalo State. I'm like,
nope.
Like, wait, really? Like, why? Why would you do that? Why would you put your reputation on the line like that?
You're like, I don't want to try.
I know we sucked as a team, but like, why would you do that? Like, why would you be like, hey, I had this really shitty guy that played like no games. Like, he played special teams and he wasn't that good. He's very tall and he's a big pile of wasted potential. Do you want to put him on the team on like with like other really good football players
who actually are
playing Division III and they're going to try really hard because this is it. This is as far as they're going to go. They're not going to get to the Rose Bowl. They're going to get to like a game and we're going to, you know, they're going to have like a quarter of the crowd would be in a Rose Bowl. So
they're going to hope that some scout sees them and maybe pulls them up. Some team.
Yeah, you say, would you like to put this loser in the mix and really give him? Because I think he'd be really good. It's like, no.
No.
Nah, man.
No.
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 Anyways, so that's Super Boy. I'm sorry, the New Adventures.
Oh, yeah.
That's the New Adventures of Super Boy, number 41 from May 1983. That's it for our show this week. Thanks for listening.
Would you read the next issue?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure I have so many of these fucking Superboy comics, I can't even tell you.
I have to make sure I read all these because these are just
I buy them
stupid.
Anytime I see them because they're ridiculous. Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, SHAWN, on Instagram as well. AngryHeroSean, also my Tumblr, theangryhero.com. Fart. TheAngryHero.tumblr.com. And of course, also let me promote SideshowNetwork.tv. Please go there, check out all of our great shows, and please go to this show, our West. What the fuck is wrong with me today? The Worst Collection Ever on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, review, tell a friend. And Jen, where can people find you and do all that great stuff?
Oh, sorry, I was dancing. I don't know if you noticed my dance.
What music was I? Was there music?
No, I'm just dancing in the seat.
Okay,
dance,
great.
Dance. So I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com. Yeah.
Terrific.
Yay.
All right, we got to go get some free comics. Woo! So thanks for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again next time.
Bye.
I'm Quen.
And I'm Dev.
And together we make
Mouth Time,
a podcast by Reductress.
You know us from amazing articles such as How to Be a Lady in the Streets and a Haunted Clock Tower in the Sheets.
And Childless Women. Are they safe?
We are the only podcast made by women that women are allowed to listen to.
Yeah, no one's telling you you can't.
We love covering things that you love hearing about, like drugs, snakes, and punching yourself in the mouth till you pass out. You know, lady stuff.
You know, shopping, horses, hair ties, lady stuff. We have new episodes every Wednesday.
Find us on iTunes, SideshowNetwork.tv, and anywhere else you can find podcasts, including the mouth of a snake that you don't know if it's a dream or real or a ghost.
Honestly, check it out. There might be a podcast in there.
There might be.
Bye.